since morning it had been quite hectic. I'm not hectic. In the morning, I was not feeling well. That's why while I was supposed to chant here in the room, temple room, I actually went and took rest. And since then, it was one after another thing. So I thought that I'll just finish my rounds and then come here. So anyway, I'm sure you all were enjoying the Hare Krishna Kirtan. Prithvi was leading Hare Krishna Mahamantra in Bangladesh style. So, actually in Bangladesh, they have retained this culture of Kirtan very nicely. In West Bengal, most of the places they lost it. But in Bangladesh, although it's predominantly Muslim, but the Hindus that are there, they're preserving their culture very nicely. It's a very wonderful place to preach, actually. Like sometimes when we have the program in Bangladesh, to have 10,000 people is not a big deal. We'd get 25, sometimes we'd get 25,000 people. We heard how many people came? 25,000. And people walk, there's no transport. It's a village program. And people come from all different neighboring villages. And we had to continue the program throughout the night because they could go back only after sunrise. So we had to drag it on till sunrise and then they would go back to their village because they couldn't walk at night. So this is how still this interest for spiritual culture is there in people. Now we have to revive it. It's a big job. Not only India, not only some parts of this world, but the entire world, every town and village. That is the mission we have ahead of us. In Switzerland, the last evening when I spoke, I actually spoke about that. I spoke about, we had all very nice time together, we had a very nice seminar, but I reminded them that's not everything. The real purpose of this seminar is to become serious about our spiritual life. And while speaking, it was not deliberate, I can assure you, I became a little heavy. And devotees liked it. I thought that I was too heavy, and later on I was feeling a little guilty that why am I being so heavy? But they told me they liked it. They said they didn't hear anyone speak like that for a long time. So I felt happy about that. But then again, it made me think that just urging them, just pushing them to become serious about their spiritual life, commit themselves and dedicate themselves is not enough. I have to, as a leader, show them how to commit themselves. I have to make the facilities for them to dedicate themselves in Prabhupada's mission. And I became aware that I have a responsibility. I became aware of my responsibility as a senior devotee of this movement, as a leader of this movement, as one of the leaders of the movement. The followers are there, but the leaders have to show them how to become involved, how to commit themselves, how to execute their energy in achieving this mission. And I think in this seminar, in this retreat, I had been little more clear about that, and I had been little more vocal about that, about the need of our movement. The members are there. You all are there. The followers are there. But how they are going to become involved? We can't leave it up to the individuals to figure out how they are going to become involved. Therefore, we need leaders who is going to tell them, this is how you're going to be involved. The followers will commit, and the leaders will have to guide, show them the way, engage them. Prabhupada was very expert in doing that. And that's why Prabhupada was a leader. That's the quality of a leader. He knows how to motivate his followers. This motivation is one of the most important qualities of a leader. And when you look at the world leaders, we can see that they had this ability. When you look at big generals like Napoleon, even Hitler, he may be a demon, but he knew how to motivate. I'm sure Hiranyakashipu also was very expert in that. He had such a follower, Kamsa, Duryodhan. They may be demoniac individuals, but they were good leaders because they could motivate their people, motivate their followers. So, a big movement needs this kind of guidance. Srila Prabhupada was there guiding this movement. Prabhupada motivated everyone, and everyone was inspired, and everyone committed himself. Everyone just offered his whole life, everything, to Srila Prabhupada, to his mission. Young boys, in their teens, they went out and achieved something wonderful for Srila Prabhupada. Why? Because they wanted to do something to please Srila Prabhupada. That is what the motivation is. I remember one godbrother of mine. He was a young boy. He, I think, at that time was 17 or 18. And he was seeing all the big, big leaders are going out to different corners and doing such wonderful things for Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is appreciating their achievements. And that was the reward. Prabhupada is pleased. Prabhupada is recognizing their contribution, their endeavors. And he was wondering who he do. And he looked at the map of the world, and it seemed that devotees have gone everywhere and they have spread Krishna consciousness. And he saw the only country that was left was, the only part of this world that was left was Africa. So he was an American, so he decided to go to South Africa. And that is our godbrother Khudi Prabhu. He is in Laguna Beach Temple. He comes to Laguna Beach. Very sweet, an unassuming person. And he wanted to do something for Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. He wanted to do something for Srila Prabhupada. And he just went to South Africa. And that boy actually started the movement in South Africa. And Prabhupada sent him the help. But he is the one who actually thought of going. He went and told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I want to go to South Africa and preach." Prabhupada appreciated his enthusiasm. But Prabhupada sent another sannyasi with him. But the real impetus came from him. And so this is how the relationship develops between leaders and followers. And again, what is that bond? What is the basis of that bond? That basis of that bond is love. It's for the love that devotees do, or a follower does whatever he does for his leader. It is because of that love for Srila Prabhupada that the devotees did whatever they did during that time. Young boys and girls sacrificed everything and just went to different corners of the world to spread this movement. And so it doesn't happen just by chance or accident. Or nor can we claim, no, you have to do it for me. One may demand that you have to do it for me. I'm your leader, you're my follower. But the real substance behind that is that love. Why did devotees offer everything to Srila Prabhupada? Because they saw that Prabhupada loved them, Prabhupada cared for them. Prabhupada gave everything to them. So, the ultimate consideration is that love. And not only Srila Prabhupada, as I was saying, like other, even mundane leaders. I once heard of one incident of Napoleon. The army, the enemy were attacking, coming close, but the artillery didn't open fire. Even though they were just coming within the range of the cannons, but they did not open fire. Because Napoleon fell asleep after 3 days and they just wanted him to take rest, at least as long as they could allow him to. So they would risk the enemies to come close to a dangerous range, but they would allow, for the sake of allowing Napoleon to have some sleep. And why is that? That is the love that they had for Napoleon. From the pages of history, we may see Napoleon as in a certain way, but when we go into his real life, then we see that personality. There is something that's very, very unusual in that personality that actually made his followers do whatever they did for him. And that's the greatness of an individual. All great people in this world, all great leaders of the world, they had this ability. And of course, Prabhupada excelled them all. And that's why Prabhupada could achieve what he did. That's why Prabhupada could do what he did. That's why 70-year-old man penniless, coming to America, and achieve a most wonderful achievement with the people who are his followers, young boys and girls. Culturally, they had no resemblance to Srila Prabhupada. They didn't know anything about Srila Prabhupada's background, there was nothing that could visibly, possibly create some sort of appreciation for that personality. But what actually attracted them so much? And that is that very common yet inconceivable factor, love. And it is the love that works, and is the love that causes that response. The heart's sincere feelings and concern. And we can see even the animals understand that love. We know about lion tamers. Do you know how the lion tamers actually tame the lion? Is it with the electric whip? No. It is the love. They create that bond that even tames a lion. We have seen why dogs are man's best friend. Because the dogs can sense that love in that man and they respond. They have that sense. So, this is how the souls become motivated. Personally, I know where I'm lacking. And I know, I'm very much aware how miserably I lack in that respect. And I pray to Srila Prabhupada that I can develop some genuine concern for you all, those who are coming to me for guidance. And I know that this guidance is not just going to come from some technical knowledge or mechanical activities. The ultimate consideration, ultimate criteria is actually that love. And love, again, we know that in the material nature there is no love, but still we use that expression to indicate genuine, heartfelt concern for others. The expression for love is, in this respect, is that the genuine concern for others' spiritual advancement. That concern must be there. And I pray to Srila Prabhupada that somehow I can cultivate that and develop that. And I also know sometimes I chastise, like there is now a reason for chastising. Sweet sounding, but still it irritates, doesn't it? So, anyway, I was talking about the cell phone ringing. The Yeah, I mean, I also know that the chastisement can be of two types. One is out of irritation, out of annoyance. I don't like something, so I chastise. And the other reason for chastising should be correcting for one's, for the person's own benefit, so that he can be corrected and become properly situated in spiritual life. And I pray to Krishna that I stop chastising because of my personal inconvenience or irritation, but can do that with a genuine concern for others. There's a lot to go, a lot to learn. There's a lot of room for improvement. Personally, I see that in myself. There are many, many defects. And I depend upon Srila Prabhupada's mercy so that I can overcome those defects. And I hope that I can become humble enough to admit my defects and keep myself open to be corrected. Ultimately, it's a matter of being able to deal with the heart instead of the head. Two different regions, to the region of matter and the region of spirit. We approach the region of matter through head, and we approach the region of spirit through heart. And we, this is the thing that we have to cultivate. Overcome the influence of the head and allow the heart to prevail. And when we learn to deal with our hearts, then everything will become wonderful. And people will respond to that. As I was saying, even animals respond to that. So what to speak of cultured, advanced, spiritually motivated human beings? Actually, that's what everyone is waiting for. Everyone is looking for. Everyone is hankering for. So we had a wonderful week together. Like, to tell you frankly, before this seminar started, I did have some apprehensions how it would be. I didn't know what to really expect before the Swiss retreat, and it turned out to be very, very wonderful. But still, before coming to this retreat, or before this retreat began, that concern was there. Well, Swiss retreat has been successful. I don't know how the American one will be. And it was quite a different situation. Swiss retreat was organized by the Swiss devotees. Some of my Swiss disciples, I gave them the responsibility. They arranged everything. And one thing I must admit, the Swiss are really expert. I mean, they are very, very competent. I mean, it's their upbringing, I think. Like, it's not just a cliche, Swiss expertise, but it is real actually. They are very competent. They organized everything very nicely. But I must also admit that this retreat also did not lack in anything. This was also equally well organized, in spite of many difficulties and many hurdles. The advantage of the Swiss retreat was we all were together in one place and there was nothing else to do. Like we are stuck there, sort of. It was right at the end of a valley, beautiful valley, beautiful place, at the foothills of the mountains, Alps. The roads practically ended there. There was a small road going up the hills, but that was not really a proper communicated road. And there was the, how do you go up? What is the mode of transport? Cable car. And we all were living in one hotel. And we took over the hotel, actually. There are kitchens. It's kitchens, not one kitchen. There are two kitchens. And both the kitchens, we took over. Their storeroom, we took over. Everything we took over. The whole hotel was taken over by us. The hotel owner used to come just once a day, just casually visit, and then he was happy that he didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to manage at all. We were doing everything. Whereas here, the living was at one place, in one motel. Then the seminars in another place, at least half an hour, 45 minutes drive, and going back and forth twice. So it was actually, that way, this was not an ideal arrangement. But I learned my lesson. Next time, we'll just go to some remote corner of this world, or at least some remote corner of the United States of America. We'll find some nice little location, not a location, little location, nice, cozy location, in some serene atmosphere, and we'll all be together and we'll be there for one whole week. And that'll be much nicer. We'll live and do everything in one place only. And then we can also wish to go for walks together, wish to go out for picnics together. Not picnics, but one day we went out for a picnic. And we did everything together, and it was so nice. But here I felt that I was kind of separated from you. I was just meeting you only during certain times of the day. But still, it was wonderful. I think we had a wonderful time. Or I'm being presumptuous. And thank you for all of you for coming and making this association so joyous, so ecstatic, in spite of so many difficulties. I think it would have been much better if that hotel had a conference room. But we could not get that situation. But later on, anyway, I mean, as they say, the hindsight is 2020. So now we can think, we can reflect on so many things we could have done in different way. But anyway, we didn't do it. But now let's learn, and in future we won't make the same mistake. So in future we'll try to make it even better. So there had been many advantages also about this arrangement. One thing is, the first of all, I would say that I could take the initiative and be involved in organizing, because I was here. I came on the 21st of July, and the seminar started on the 9th. So I came about 18 days earlier. So that was one advantage. I was here, I was trying to take care of different aspects. And the other advantage was that we had some of the local devotees who became very, very helpful. They were all very helpful. Like Premananda, Aditya, Piyush, Jagannath Krishna, Praveen, Dipti, all of them were very helpful. Yeah, and on top of everyone, Abhiram. Yeah, Abhiram is not here, yeah? Like, I saw him downstairs. Anyway, so Abhiram is the one who took responsibility of buying all the vegetables. And he didn't buy the vegetables locally, he got the vegetables from Tampa, from the wholesale market. We got the best vegetables, and best of everything, actually. He took us to the wholesale shop, the restaurant supply, where he has the card membership. And we got our things from there, we got the equipment from there, he helped us arrange the pots, the pans, the burners, and so this is how all the local devotees gave their help. Trivikram Maharaj naturally gave us all the support, and we're also very thankful for our local GBC, His Grace Sesha Prabhu, for allowing us to have the retreat in his zone. And that's how, that was the first phase. Then Rupanuga flew in. Actually, Rupanuga is the person who I gave the whole responsibility to organize this retreat. As a matter of fact, I gave that responsibility to Rupanuga last summer. I was actually thinking that instead of traveling, we are thinking of going to a retreat like this. But at that time, we are thinking of having a retreat in the West Coast. And I told Rupanuga to look for some place. And that's how Rupanuga actually got involved. And then finally, when I decided to have the retreat, then I told Rupanuga to take the responsibility. And Rupanuga, along with his family, his wife Premanjana and two daughters, they flew into Switzerland and participated in that retreat to see how to have that experience, that to be aware of different pros and cons of the retreat. And later on I was thinking maybe I was too demanding. Actually, I told Rupanuga to come to Switzerland. At that time I didn't realize. So at times I don't realize how difficult it may be for the householders to do certain things. Because as a sannyasi, I can just decide, and the next day I can just board a flight and go to some place. But I know for the householders it's not that easy, and especially when you have children. But Rupanuga silently accepted my command. And he came in to Switzerland. And I think you liked it. How about you, Premanjana? Was it difficult?
No, didn't like it very much.
Thank you. And I was told that the children liked it also very much.
They loved it.
And so Rupanuga took a lot of trouble to organize this. I could see, like, he often didn't have the time to eat. I had to ask, did you take prasadam? And he didn't still take his prasadam. Like, many a times I could see. And why? Because he had so many things to take care of that he didn't even have the time to eat and sleep. And Rupanuga is saying it's not that difficult. It was not that difficult. That means it was somewhat difficult. And then we are organizing. Actually, we got a very big assurance from the local devotees. Premananda, Aditya, Piyush, and others, they gave the assurance, we will be there to help. And Jagannath Krishna and Praveen's support was very remarkable. I would like to mention that. Actually, I was telling Jagannath Krishna, arrange this, arrange that. Mainly, the sitting arrangements in the dining area, tables and chairs. And he arranged that, and then I told him, actually, when I told that to to Jagannath and Praveen, my basic intention was, you make the phone calls and make the arrangements. But not only that, they made the arrangements for the downstairs, the sitting arrangement, the tables and chairs. And then I told them the tent, because we wanted to hold the initiation. And so they not only made the arrangement, but they also made the payments. And when I wanted to reimburse that payments, they just refused to take that money. And I was feeling, I told them that if I knew that that's how you're going to behave, then I wouldn't have asked you to do it. I gave the money, they didn't take that. I gave it to Rupanuga. I said, Rupanuga, you convince them to take it. And even Rupanuga couldn't convince them. So then we gave up. Where is Jagannath, Praveen?
He is finishing up the yajna.
Is it yajna or jagya? Is it? Okay. It seems that you know better. Okay. So they were very, very helpful. Then Shibash was actually a remarkable help in Switzerland. He's one boy who just loves to serve. Unconditionally, completely dedicated in serving. Shivash actually had been serving me for many, many years. He was a very remarkable boy. And one of the big factor for success in the Swiss retreat actually was Shivash's cooking. And Govinda, who was the main organizer of the Swiss retreat, he made one condition that I have to bring Shivash. So I made that arrangement. Shivash came. And Shivash was supposed to travel with me in any case. So Shivash went there to the Swiss retreat. And he was cooking. And I didn't see him practical the whole day. Only I would see him when it came to serving me. Shivash was making the breakfast, Shivash was making the lunch, Shivash was making the dinner. Plus on top of that, Shivash was making my prasad also, because I had a special diet at that time. In India, some doctor gave me some special diet that I was following. And Shivash was just doing everything. And not only that, some days, when he would make something and he would run out of it. He couldn't figure out how much will be consumed. So he went back to the kitchen and cooked again. And one day he cooked spaghetti. And the spaghetti was such a delicious success that it just disappeared in no time. So Shivash went to the kitchen, made some more. And that also disappeared. So he made some more. So thrice he cooked. And then that also was finished and those were serving and he himself, there was nothing left for them. So he had to go and make the pasta and the sauce a fourth time. Did he ever make pasta, spaghetti here? And how was the sauce? Tomato sauce? How was the, yeah. So, he is a very, very talented cook. He wanted to make pizza here. But for pizza we need the ovens. And I actually was making the arrangement to get the ovens from Dallas. Because Baladev, his factory there has some convection ovens. And I told him to bring those ovens, one oven here. But then I thought that it will be too much just to bring the oven. It's a big oven, actually. to bring it all the way from Dallas and then take it back. But these boys are so submissive. They were ready to do that. Baladev's mood was, whatever you tell me, Guru Maharaj. But then finally I decided that that would be too much of an effort. But I thought that, I'll tell you what I was thinking. I was thinking, one thing I thought that maybe we can rent an oven here, convection oven. But then I was thinking that those ovens will probably have, won't be clean. Because naturally, they must be cooking all kinds of things there. And at one time, I was even thinking of setting up a pizza oven here. Like just regular clay and regular brick oven that they use with log fire, wood fire. We have one in Ujjain. And the pizza, you must come there and taste the pizzas. Another thing Shivash did not display, because not only the pizza, another thing that he makes very well is lasagna. But for both lasagna and pizza, we needed the oven. So I'm sorry that I had to deprive you of those two delicacies. Next time. And if you think his spaghetti was good, you wait till you taste his pizzas and lasagnas. And this is one thing I like to take care of, because once Prabhupada told me, make sure that the devotees get nice prasad. It was in Vrindavan. Prabhupada one day, although Prabhupada himself did not eat for weeks together, he didn't eat anything for weeks together, but he was so concerned, one day he sent me to the kitchen, to the devotee prasadam, to find out how was the prasad for the devotees. So, I came back and reported to Prabhupada that the prasad was not very nice. And Prabhupada called the temple president and chastised him, why prasad is not nice. And then when I was alone, after the temple president left, I was alone with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada just told me, make sure that the devotees get nice prasad. And then Prabhupada told me, that's the only sense gratification they have. So that's the only bona fide sense gratification. And that's the instruction of Srila Prabhupada I like to follow, because I also like nice prasad. But one thing I learned is that while I appreciate prasad, while I like prasad, I should also make it a point to see that the devotees also get nice prasad. And I can see it makes a big difference. I've seen if prasadam is nice, there may be various other thousands of different other hardships, but they just take it with a smiling face. Another thing Prabhupada once told me, not to me, I had the good fortune of hearing Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that the best way to enter into someone's heart is through his mouth. You give nice prasad, you'll win his heart. There's also another famous saying that the army runs on stomach. So prasad is actually a very important factor, and I try to make it a point that nice prasad is there. And there had been some very, very wonderful cooks in our movement, and it's just a matter of utilizing their talents. And we had so many wonderful cooks here in the kitchen. The whole kitchen department actually was shouldered by Shripati. I was not sure that they were going to come, because Shripati, although he was here in Orlando, but he just shifted to New Orleans. And Shripati and Shankarshan just recently went there. And I was doubtful whether they would be able to come, but they came over. Shripati, Shankarshan, Shribash, and then from Dallas came that whole crew, Purandar, Chandaneshwar, and Dibharatna. They came and they gave a massive support to the kitchen. And along with that, Chandaneshwar's wife. One day I was just driving out, I was going to the hotel one night, and I saw that Shripati, Chandaneshwar, his wife, Malisa, and Malisa's sister, Maria, they were quite late, it was, and they were all cleaning the pots. There was no one, they were just cleaning the pots. I mean, kitchen department is actually a very demanding department. You not only cook, you cut the vegetables, you arrange the pots, you clean the pots, clean the whole area. Then so many other devotees, actually, so many of you have helped in the kitchen, and we are so thankful to you for that. I would like to express my heartfelt thanks to Mother Madhumati, who helped in the kitchen so wonderfully. Then Jagadish, Ramanuja, Jasumati. Jasumati loves to cook. She loves to cook. Wherever she is, she just... And Vrindavan Chandra also was helping. Radharani Mataji. Radharani is also... The Gujaratis are by birth. Excellent. Mainly because they're vegetarian, generally. They're vegetarian, so they grow up with all these vegetarian delicacies. Brajadevi, Mamatamai, Shikha, Ananda Sarup. Ananda Sarup is a very good cook. Actually, Ananda Sarup used to be a Swami Narayan before. And he was their cook. He and another boy, they were cooks of Swami Narayan. When they would have this big programs, they would take care of the cooking. And they left Swaminarayan and came join ISKCON in Mayapur. And he's a... And how do you like those chana bhaturas? Yeah, that was Ananda Sarup's contribution. Tungavidya helped in the kitchen. Dipti. We did not properly utilize Dipti's talents. She makes very good dosas and idlis. Dosa probably couldn't have been possible to make for so many. But I told her to make the idlis. And before that, I wanted her to demonstrate. And I can assure you that she really qualified. But... how many days did you make? Did you? You couldn't make it, yeah? Huh?
We had dosa in 10 days.
Okay. Good. Aditya also helped in the kitchen. Sarojini, in spite of her frail health, she helped in the kitchen. Then Rohini Priya just showed up, came over yesterday from New York, and I heard that she just walked into the kitchen. And what did you cook, Rohini? Rohini Priya? Rohini, what did you cook? I'm asking you, Rohini, from New York. Yes. But they told me that you... No? So, they were not lying. So you cooked the puris. You just threw the puris, and they got fried. Thank you. Then Sonam and Swarna made the cakes. We celebrated two birthdays, and. Both the cakes were made for them, and tomorrow we'll celebrate another birthday. Balaram's birthday. And Sonam and Gopika are making a cake. I was just watching them today. They're making a cake for Balaram tomorrow. Is ready?
Guruji, it's done, but Tungavidya Mataji will help me do the decoration.
Very good. What did Gopika do?
We made the...
Okay. Very good. Then cookies were made by Vilas Manjari. Where is Vilas? Maybe she is making the cookies. Vilas, as you remember, she was telling that how she loves to cook. That is her devotional service. She, wherever she is, she just loves to cook. And she cooks for massive quantity, for a huge number of people. Sometimes I went to there. Sometimes I stayed in their house in New York. And from morning till night, what I see is Vilas is just in the kitchen and cooking and cooking continuously. And the children are also so nice. They're helping. They're all giving her the help and cooking. And they're cooking for her. Because when I went, many people came and she was just cooking for them. And the feast in the evening for hundreds of people. So Vilas Manjari and Rohini Priya helped the cooking, the making the cookies. Then comes the after cooking is the serving. That was one consideration. I noticed the first day the devotees who cooked, they also were serving. So I told Rupanuga that we have to have a service arrangement. And then we are thinking, who should be the best person for that? So I suggested, let Vrindavan Chandra become. Let us give him the responsibility, Vrindavan Chandra, to organize the serving. And he did that. He took the responsibility. Of course, he came one day late. I mean, our program started on the 8th. He came on the 9th? He came on the 9th. So we considered about the service arrangement. So then we gave the 9th until Vrindavan Chandra came, the 9th lunch and breakfast and lunch, the responsibility was given to Nanda Dulal. And Nanda Dulal took care of the serving. And they were assisted by Jashumati, Nanda Dulal, Radharani, Mother Madhumati, and many other devotees who actually have helped the serving. And many of them helped on a daily basis. You have seen them. And then when prasadam is taken, then the next thing is cleaning. So the cleaning responsibility was given to Jagadish. So Jagadish, with the help of Ramanuja, Pramod, Chaitanya and Aditya, generally they took care of the cleaning, assisted by many of you. Then altar. We were in Switzerland, the deities were brought by different devotees and set up. And we are thinking how to set up the altar. Like here, we had Gaur Nithai in the house. These are actually, this Gaur Nithai is worshipped by Guru Gauranga and his wife, Suchitra. They had to go to South Africa, but they're coming back tomorrow. So the Gaur Nithai was there. And we are thinking of, initially we thought that we would just have Gaur Nithai, and I gave the responsibility to Praveen. Praveen, one day I saw her dressing the deities and she did a wonderful job. So I told her that you take care of the deities dressing every day. And but then we consider how to build the altar. So it was actually makeshift altar. We had this table, and then Praveen did that altar. Then we are thinking of how to make the dome, because altar must have a dome. And so I was thinking of various things, like going to Home Depot and getting something. But then I noticed, like outside, no, it was actually here, downstairs, we had this table hockey. And this was, it had a plastic top. So I said, why don't you use the plastic top as the as the dome for the altar? And I told Pijush and Aditya. And I also told Pijush how to fix it up. Pijush was quite doubtful whether it will be possible to fix it that way. And I told him, don't worry, just go ahead and do it. And then I also told them, initially we thought of putting gold foils to give it a golden kind of a... But Aditya got this golden spray paint. And only thing is that I came a few minutes too late, and I found that they painted it, but they painted it from the other way around. Like, actually they should have... It would have been probably looked even better if the painting was done on the outside, then the shine would have been... painting would have done from inside. You can see the inside of the thing is looking very shiny. Now that shine would have been there if the paint was put inside, then outside would have been shiny. Anyway, they had done a very good job. So, and then Praveen and Jagannath Krishna and some others, Dipti, they worked till quite late and made this altar. And it was beautiful. I think it's a beautiful altar. I mean, considering the way we did it. Another thing was that these curtains, you know what's behind, what is this? You know what this room actually is? This is the guest house, guest facility for this setup. Like, the main house is there, and this is a guest house, and this is the guest kitchen. So behind that are the cupboards and ovens, dishwashing machines, fridge, and all kinds of things. So somehow we had to cover that. So how did we cover them? We got this cloth, made a curtain, and it was Aditya who stayed till late. Aditya and Pijush, they made this arrangement. Another wonderful thing was, they considered that this place where the devotees would be sitting must be cleaned. Because this carpet, God knows when it was last cleaned, or whether it has been cleaned at all. So Dipti went and got an industrial carpet cleaner. And they worked for hours, like, and you can't imagine how much dirt came out. It didn't look dirty, but it was dirty. And now it may not look that clean, but I can assure you it's really clean. And altar, then the deity worship, dressing, archana. took the responsibility of the altar with Vidyavadhu, Praveen. Praveen, as I said, like I gave her the responsibility to dress the deities and Sonam and Mother Sucharya. Your name should have been on the top. I don't know. It's a mistake that. Thank you, Mother Sucharya. And Mother Sucharya also was so. It was so nice of her to come here. Then garlands. In Switzerland, they were every day they were making this gorgeous flower garlands. Not only one, two, sometimes more than that. And I told them that don't waste Krishna's money. Like, one thing is, sometimes I think that maybe I should have some garlands made of artificial flowers. Because I just wear it for a short while and then it goes. But in the West, flowers are so expensive. Like, each garland that we cost so much money. When I think of it, it makes me feel bad. But still garlands are made. Anyway, it was nice. Some garlands were made like that. And one thing I can tell you, these flowers look so real. The silk flowers. It will be nice to have some garlands there and make a few so that you can change. And it will look like every day I'm wearing a new garland. So the garlands are made by Premanjana, Pramila, Dattatreya and Krishnapriya from Tennessee. Krishnapriya also is a very good cook. She makes very nice croissant. I remember when she was in Mayapur, I used to tell her that. And she used to make the croissants. Next time when you have a proper oven, we'll have some croissants for breakfast. And you have to stay up the whole night making the croissants. Shopping was taken care of by Abhiram. As I mentioned, Dipti, Aditya, Rishikesh, Piyush, and as I mentioned, Jagannath Krishna and Praveen and Premananda. Premananda had been setting up the broadcasting system, sound system. He had been very, very helpful. Piyush did. And Piyush has been very, very helpful. He just silently just kept on making all the arrangements. Thank you so much, Piyush. Then airport transfers, the main personalities were Chaitanya. Whenever someone was coming, I knew Rupanuga's first preference was Chaitanya. I would ask him, who is going to pick up such and such? Oh, Chaitanya is going. And Chaitanya also had been very submissive. Then Ramanuja, Dattatreya, Aditya, Dipti, Archana, Rishikesh, Ramesh. Where is Ramesh? Okay. And Ishwar Puri. That reminds me, Ishwar Puri, Like, I just, during the shooting in LA, I just made you drive around everybody. But next time I'll make you play the role of a hero. I won't make you a chauffeur, I'll make you the... The fire sacrifice kund made by Jagannath Krishna, that is being made now. Piyush, Chintamani and Archana. Chintamani and Archana did the decoration. Tomorrow morning you'll do that. Then audio, video, media. Piyush, Baladev, Shrivash, Rupeshwar, Gauranga, and Premananda. Thank you. Then Kirtan team. Ratna Radhika, Chintamani, Gadadhar, Shankarshan. Where is Gadadhar? Shankarshan, Shribash, Jagannath Krishna. They all are very good musicians, very good singers. Children's activities. Guess who was in charge of that? Radha Priya. Children's department. Radha Priya was given that responsibility and assisted by Surabhi, Maria, Pranay, Pallavi and Ditti. Then I want to extend my special thanks, or our special thanks, to Rupanuga, first of all, for organizing this event. Then Radha Krishna and Rajasuya Prabhu. Radha Krishna gave a very beautiful Bhagavatam class the other day, and he spoke so eloquently about Prabhupada's position, Prabhupada's greatness. Just a 21-year-old boy, but he's so brilliant. He was born in Krishna consciousness. He was born in the West Coast, Southern California. His father was there, taking care of Radha Raman Temple. And then he moved to India. His father is the temple president of Ludhiana Temple. And Radha Krishna mainly studies in Vrindavan. He is studying under those, some Goswamis there. Very brilliant boy. And unfortunately they are not here. And I want to extend my special thanks to Piyush for tirelessly taking care of so many different aspects of this seminar. Thank you so much, Piyush. We want to extend our thanks to Aditya. Premananda. Jagannath Krishna and Praveen. Shripati. Where are they? Where is Shripati? He's so, so absorbed in his kitchen responsibility. He didn't even come here. I didn't see him during the programs. Shribash, he's also another. And I want to extend my heartfelt thanks to Shesha Prabhu and his family. Actually, Shesha Prabhu's presence gave this seminar, gave this retreat such a beautiful flavor. At least I know while I was speaking, I had to be careful that I don't go off the wall. It's good sometimes, it's good to have someone above you watching. I like it that way. And thank you so much, Shesha Prabhu. And we are so thankful to His Holiness Trivikram Maharaj for giving us his wonderful association. Trivikram Maharaj, as you have seen, is very special devotee. Like, I have seen what a deep love Srila Prabhupada had for him. Prabhupada was very fond of Trivikram Maharaj, and Trivikram Maharaj also was very attached to Srila Prabhupada. Of course, all of Prabhupada's disciples were very attached, but sometimes it becomes very noticeable. And Trivikram Maharaj is one such person. And sometimes in his loyalty and love for Srila Prabhupada, he becomes like a child. And he's a very, very loyal, dedicated devotee of Srila Prabhupada, who is prepared to do anything for Srila Prabhupada. So it's very nice to have such the association of such wonderful devotees. We, from such example, we learn how not to try to become a big devotee, but try to become a sincere devotee. Sri Vikram Maharaj is such a wonderful example for that. I would also like to extend my very special thanks to Ekavira Prabhu and Mother Braja Leela for coming here and making this retreat so beautifully enlightened by your wonderful realizations. And the warmth that you always display really makes a very special environment wherever you go. Wherever I meet Mother Braja Leela, she's just an embodiment of kindness and sincerity. Whether it is in Mayapur, whether it's in Gita Nagari, or whether it's Calcutta Airport. And Ekavira Prabhu had been such a wonderful example, the way he served his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. It's exemplary. The way Mother Braja Leela served her Guru Maharaj is exemplary. And I have seen how attached Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj also was to these very, very wonderful devotees. They meant so much. They were so special disciples of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Thank you so much for coming. I'd also like to thank Sri Vrindavan Prabhu and his family for coming. About clapping, you forgot to clap Braja Leela and Ekavira. I had been in touch with Sri Vrindavan Prabhu for some last few months, and I can see what a dynamic personality he is, and I can see that how much he is going, in course of time, how much he'll do for Srila Prabhupada's mission. And I can see how Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj attracted so many very, very qualified individuals. Very qualified devotees. And I'm sure their association is going to be very beneficial for you all. Take advantage of these wonderful devotees. I also like to extend my special thanks to Krishna Prasad Prabhu and his family. Thank you so much for coming. Krishna Prasad Prabhu also is a very qualified disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And it's so wonderful that you all came and gave us your association. I would like to thank Nari for coming. I don't know why I call you Nari. I should call you Narayan. Because that's your real name, yeah?
My birth name is Jamar.
I see. And how did you get this name?
My parents didn't like it because Jamar in Sindhi means, you know, not a smart guy.
Yeah. I have noticed that this is a Sindhi trend also. Narayans become Nari. Harish become Harry. Anyway, so when you said, the moment you said that your name is Nari, I knew that your name actually was Narayan. And
three sisters are married to three Naris.
I see. Very good. So thank you for coming, Narayan.
Thank you, Guruji.
And
when I get initiated, I will call you Guru Maharaj.
And I will request you to read Prabhupada's books. Please read Srila Prabhupada's books. Yeah, you have it, but now you read it.
I read it.
Okay, now you practice it. And as I told you, I'll tell Naveen to take care of you. And Ishwar Puri, you also take care of Narayan.
Yes, you are Maharani.
Yeah, Maharani.
Yeah.
Are you Paramananda's?
No,
I see. Okay, so Maharani, yeah, Isharpuri, maybe you can introduce.
Yeah, I think they are kind of related, even my relation too, because I'm related. I think he's a student at the what university?
SCIM.
Right here. He's studying his, master's degree in this, and then his mom, and they are looking for his home near the university. So she has come to help him, and she is going to go
Where did you live, Maharani?
South Florida.
Okay. And what's your name? Your son's name?
Ganesh.
So Ganesh, you just came here to the university to study. Okay, very good. I can see that you have a wonderful mother who really takes care of you. Thank you, Maharani, for coming.
Thank you.
And I presume you're Paramananda's sister? What's your name?
Mahalani.
Yeah. So Paramananda, take care of her. And Vilas Manjari, I'm sure, will take care of her. Thank you all. Thank you very much for coming. Yeah. And thank you, Madhupati Prabhu, for coming. Madhupati Prabhu is the temple president of central Jersey. Yesterday called South Jersey. It's actually central New Jersey. Madhupati Prabhu is a very exemplary devotee, disciple of His Holiness Jayadita Maharaj, who is involved in a very responsible position in, is it Mark? Mark, the pharmaceutical company, Mark. Madhupati Prabhu was the project manager in India. Like, he was going to India every month, stay there for 2 weeks, and then come back to America. And those 2 weeks, although his company actually arranged for him to stay in a 5-star hotel, those 2 weeks that he was there, they were setting up their new branch factory in India. And Madhupati Prabhu... Oh, you're outsourcing from India. And you are in charge of that project. Yeah. But Madhupati Prabhu decided to stay in the Juhu temple. And it was quite far for him. He used to drive for 1.5 hours every day? And the location was where?
New Bombay,
okay. Although he could have stayed in New Bombay, but he did not. He stayed in Juhu Temple and drove 1.5 hours twice a day. 3 hours going and coming back. Very, very exemplary devotee. And Haribalav and Sarojini are Madhupati Prabhu's father and mother. And actually, Madhupati Prabhu is their father. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a consideration like that. The one who brings to Krishna consciousness is the real father. So they came to Krishna consciousness because of him. Isn't it, Sarojini?
Yes.
So who is the father? Okay. Thank you, Madhupati Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Jugal Rasa, she just came, and it was very nice that you came. And on top of everything, I'd like to thank Mother Krishna Priya for coming. As you have seen, Mother Krishna Priya, such an exemplary devotee. She is, sometimes you can't make out how old she is. Doesn't she look sometimes like a 14-year-old girl? When she dances, especially. Yeah.
When she teaches yoga.
Well, she is way beyond this yoga platform. She is transcendentally situated. Actually, I have a long-standing relationship with Mother Krishna Priya. Since our days in North Carolina, we had very close association. She's such an exemplary devotee. And as I mentioned, she's the first woman temple president in ISKCON. That way I must admit that Bir Krishna Maharaj had been very, very revolutionary. Actually, once I was in a situation like that to appoint one of my girl disciples to take up the responsibility as the temple president. But those days, our movement was so different. I'm talking about early 90s. Even at that time, although she was the most qualified devotee in the temple, most dynamic, it was in Amsterdam. And this disciple is Saraswati. She is very, very dynamic devotee. But I was, anyway, I'm so backward. And although she was so qualified, but because she was a girl, I decided not to make her temple president, because I was thinking that what others will think in ISKCON, no one ever, it's not happened. And like, I mean, those days actually things were quite different. I remember, like, just to give an example about this girl, one day we were supposed to go to a Harinam. We went in a Harinam in Amsterdam, and she and two other girls went, and they ended up at a wrong place. So they waited for us, but then they realized that. And those days, there was no mobile phones. And they waited for us, and then they realized that there has been a mistake. So the three of them just laid a Harinam in that area. And then later on she told me that she did that. And to those days, for girls to lead a Harinam was unusual, unheard of. And she was... So this is how we can see that our movement is actually progressing with time. And ISKCON is changing a lot. Like, in early days, the girls played a significantly different role in our movement. Although they would go out and distribute books, but when it came to internal things, temple management and things, they were not in the forefront. That's why I was thinking that Bir Krishna Maharaj had been quite progressive. And he pushed you.
He decided that there needed to be some some changes made. And he's the type of person that always likes to stretch the boundaries. So he pushed it. He pushed it forward. That was his desire. He wanted to make change.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I would like to, Mother Krishna Priya, please. And I would like to extend my heartfelt thanks to Mother Sucharya, my god sister, for coming. And Mother Sucharya is also very exemplary in a way, like the way I see her. Like, she maintained her very traditional ISKCON mood. She is a very wonderful devotee, very loyal to Srila Prabhupada, very serious about her spiritual life. And she is trying to help this movement in so many different ways. She's assisting, brought up her children. It's not easy nowadays to bring up the children in a Krishna conscious spirit, because they revolt and I had a meeting with her daughter yesterday, Lalita. How did she feel after that?
She was very happy. She felt very enlivened. Her whole mood was changed. So thank you.
I hope I can help. In that way, I'm very fortunate. I'm getting many, many children, but they all are shaped properly. I don't have to deal with their rebellious attitude so much. But as their parents, probably you face another difficulty. Like, I get ready-made stuff, and you all give it the shape. Make them ready. I'm very happy that the young ones came, like Gopika, Bhakti, and very enlivening to see how they're growing. I have seen them, when I first saw Gopika, I think she was 2 years old. Just a little toddler. But a very sweet girl. She had always been such a sweet girl. I remember those days when I used to go to New Jersey, I would stay in the temple. And Gopika was probably, 4 or 5 years old. She just insisted that I have to go and stay at their house. And I had to succumb to her pressure. And she took care of me so nicely. And Bhakti, I stayed in their house in 2 occasions, I stayed there for 2.5 months with my whole team of Abhay Charan. We took over the whole house. Her father had a big house in New Jersey, And we had about 30 members in our team. And we had a wonderful stay in their house. And Rohini Priya also is another little girl who was born in front of my eyes. I saw her as a little child on the lap of her mother. Who gave you the name? And she spent many years in Mayapur, and whenever she would have difficulty with her mother, she would come and tell me. When her mother had difficulties with her, she would come and tell me. It's so wonderful to see you all, little ones, growing up in front of our eyes and blossoming in Krishna consciousness. Thank you so much. And I want to thank all of you for coming here and making this retreat such a grand success. And like you all, I also look forward to many, many such retreats in future. You want to? Huh? Why don't you sit here, Hare Krishna?
trying to stick to my faith.
Okay.
So it might be the first time that I've ever sat to my faith. On behalf of all the wonderful Semel devotees, we would like to offer from the depths of our hearts the deepest gratitude Maharaj, for what you have shared with us this week. You've shared with us the vision of pure love of Krishna, pure devotional service. Your love for Srila Prabhupada and practical example of uninterrupted devotional service has reawakened with us the desire to rededicate ourselves to the mission of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, to share the holy names with everyone we meet in every town and village. You certainly are a very patient teacher who takes us step by step from this material world to the eternal world of Vrindavan. So we'd very much like to thank you, and that is, I haven't written that here, but what comes to my mind is that I've always been so amazed at what a patient teacher you are, that you're willing to take the time to systematically present things to us in a way that we can understand, and then you take the time to make sure that we understand and to hear from us. And so your ability to teach and to share is so wonderful for all of us, and we're very so appreciative that you actually are willing to take the time to help us and help us to advance and our spiritual life. In the beginning of the seminar, you spoke about the most important aspect of this seminar was to develop loving relationships amongst the devotees. And you stressed that was even more important than any of the seminars. So I think everyone out there would agree with me. All of us have experienced a great appreciation and love for the association of Vaishnavas. And we're all very, very thankful that you have worked so hard. We didn't know how you were involved in all the management, how hard you worked to create this atmosphere where we can all come together and share. And you especially stressed to us that the love that we're feeling comes when we focus our love on Srila Prabhupada and on Lord Krishna, and that naturally our differences melt away and we feel very satisfied in the heart. So I know myself, and I'm sure all the devotees I'm speaking for feel just very, very satisfied in their heart. And this isn't something that can be artificially imposed, but it's something that comes from good association. And we all know that a moment's association with a great soul can enliven us and free us from the material distress. Thank you so much for being so caring and bringing us together under the umbrella of Srila Prabhupada's family. Practically, we have experienced by this week of increasing our hearing and chanting that we are feeling great joy and happiness. And you have also explained about the subtle body and how through devotional service it begins to melt. So I was noticing that the more we kept chanting, the more we kept talking about Prabhupada, it was like this veil was just being lifted. And even if we wanted to remember our problems, we couldn't remember them. We wanted to thank you for giving us that taste of what Srila Prabhupada has so often stressed in his books and allowing us the environment to be able to feel safe to practice our Krishna consciousness. You have spoken very clearly about how to advance in devotional service. Now let us not just clap, but let us take your instructions to heart and set practical goals and strategies for carrying on Srila Prabhupada's mission. And I also often stress to the devotees that it's not that overnight we're going to understand how to carry all these things out. And so we can have our goals, but that we need to work in the mode of goodness and to develop a strong foundation. We thank you so much for being here to give us the vision and to give us the hope and to guide us in our spiritual life. Again, we want to thank you so much for taking the time and the energy to be with us and to aliven our spiritual lives. And I also know from my previous years of managing them, it's not that you just see the final week, but how much energy goes into organizing a festival like this. So we thank you so much. And we pray, and of course I pray to Shishirada Golokananda to always protect you and to keep you in good health and well-being. And we look forward to always being able to have your association. And we also would very much like to thank Bhupanugar Prabhu. He set a wonderful example of being cool-headed and calm and easy to approach and always willing to take the time to hear what the devotees had to ask him. And even before the seminar, he went out of his way. And we want to thank all the devotees who prepared prasada marjorie. Thank you. But again, I feel from the managerial point of view how difficult it is to orchestrate all these different activities. And I know Marj was always concerned that the devotees have very nice prasada and all the devotees were satisfied. And I have this kind of strange, some people call it rapid diet. But in my own way, I'm actually very dependent on getting the right prasada so I can function. And so I wanted to thank Sonal and the other devotees that really went out of their way in this busy schedule to make sure that I also had the prasada that I needed. And it was just really, really wonderful. She's a very exemplar devotee. And I really want to thank you for training all of your devotees so much in this mood of Vaishnava etiquette and so much in this mood of service. And I wanted to come here so much, actually. My desire to come here was so strong because I was thinking that I need good association. And I want to be with Maharaj and I want to be with all of his disciples. And I was missing the Bengali boys' music. And so I just want to thank you so much for creating such a wonderful family and for making this all feel so welcome. So thank you.
Actually, whatever I'm saying right now is an anonymous feedback from various devotees I interviewed, basically, to see how did they inspire, how they were inspired from this retreat, and what all we can do to improve next time. So these are the points which I got from a number of devotees in my talk today on behalf of disciples of Bhupacharya Maharaj. So, Guru Maharaj, a lot of devotees have unanimously agreed, have said these points that the personal relationship with the devotees is very important, and we saw it live demonstrated here in this retreat. And this personal relationship is so important that we need to extend it to all the newcomers whom you have. That's a very important aspect of teaching, not just distributing books, but also developing the relationship with whomever you meet, and basically our exemplary behavior, our character, everything should be first class, as we are representing a very important personality. And the second point I got from the devotees is that they all felt inspired and encouraged to sincerely commit themselves to various projects and do something to help Guru Maharaj and other local temples in spreading this movement and fulfilling the vision and mission of Srila Prabhupada. And they are almost like ready like soldiers for standby, you know, whenever the time comes, they're ready to jump forward and take over the projects and responsibilities. And we were discussing like number of suggestions had come that, you know, should have a common database, a common repository of all the the disciples and all the devotees over here and their skill sets, you know, and their contact numbers in our vicharaswami.com or iscon.com, so that people can have access to it. And we should also have the, you know, the, at least the overview of whatever projects we are going to embark on going forward, so that, you know, we can tap on the resources and see where all we can use it as and when time is required. So, you know, I'll take the, you know, lead for Guru Maharaj to just see whether we can develop this kind of central repository for everyone. And last thing, one very important thing, Radha Krishna Guru, I just talked to him today before he left. He said that the most important thing he learned was, you know, the opportunity to engage in this sadhana bhakti, Vedic bhakti, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which automatically transforms into, you know, the Radha Madhava bhakti. I mean, this is a special thing which only international, Sri Prabhupada society, ISKCON society, can, that has this privilege, you know, to be engaged in Radha Madhava bhakti, even though, you know, it's just a Vedic bhakti. This you will not get outside ISKCON. There are a lot of non-ISKCON organizations which inspire us and they make an attempt, you know, that they will give us Radha Madhava bhakti. But according to the authority of scriptures, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is very positive. I mean, it was very clear, Vaishnava, Guru Maharaj, that by engaging in this ISKCON movement, you know, following the instruction of Srila
Prabhupada. No, it's not that. Like, not only just ISKCON movement. Do you have the mic here? The point is, it is the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift. Whoever is following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu although he'll be rendering Vaidhi Bhakti to Mahaprabhu, it will be transformed into Raghunatha Bhakti. So don't limit it only to ISKCON. It is whoever is following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the understanding, what he is talking about, what Radha Krishna meant today, is that understanding was not clear to him before. Through this seminar, this understanding became clear.
So these are the main points which I got from various devotees, and we want to sincerely, deepest and heartfelt gratitude to Guru Maharaj, who spent so much of his effort to organize this wonderful retreat, and we look forward for this kind of retreats, for forthcoming years. And Guru Maharaj, please engage us in any service you like, most of all the devotees over here are ready to embark on any projects.
Okay.
And really inspired. This is what I got from them.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, sure.
Marge, I want to personally thank you for being such a gracious host for this seminar. And for your exemplary behavior in association with my fallen self and all of the devotees here. I think that the significance of your doing seminars like this is something that we can't comprehend the nature of just here in this place and time. I think that it's so important for Prabhupada's movement to have this type of not only the understanding of the mercy we're receiving from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but also to live the Chaitanya Charitamrita as I felt I was doing here this evening during the talk. I could just remember when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from the South India tour and all the devotees gathered there, and there were so many loving exchanges through words and glances of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with all of his father's followers who had seen him again. And I felt that we were living that in the discussion and appreciation of other devotees for the services they're rendering here. And as you were pointing out, it's just that is so empowering, so inspiring, that it can carry one for his entire life, you know, to serve Srila Prabhupada just on the basis of the kind of loving exchanges that were going on here this evening. So I think it's so very important for us to experience that, you know, for others to hear about it and want to participate the next time and have it grow and grow and grow. And this is what the International Society of Krishna Consciousness is meant to be. And to actually live it and experience it is sad to say, but sometimes a rare opportunity. And I think we've given us that rare opportunity here this week. So I want to thank you for that very much. Just a small example of what I saw in you this week that particularly impressed me was you were speaking how Prabhupada instructed you to make sure that the devotees have good prasadam, and you exhibited so much care for each little detail. But I had the fortune of taking prasadam with you, and I would see how you would compliment the cook on the dish. Oh, this mixed vegetable is very good. You know, whereas who cooked this? Oh, this is, and you, that kind of personal reciprocation with the cooks, that I know that that is something that, you know, any cook, when someone gives them that feedback, oh, this is very nice, it's very pleasing to them and encourages them. And so you did that little thing with the cooks, but you've done that in a whole week with all of us here, and I want to thank you very much for your time.
I don't know what to say, Shesha Prabhu.
We could distribute the shaman. I'll be first.
Okay.